Blog Talk Radio.
All right, how you guys doing today? It's coming to you guys live for Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Joseph Smith, and today my show is going to be on the signs of the time, just talking about how things are wrapping up in, as we see in our world today, and just looking at what is really going on. You know, what is all this commotion and stuff we see? You see in Luke, verse 21, I mean, not Luke verse 21, Luke 21, I'm going to use Matthew 24 also, but Luke 21:9, it says, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not troubled, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not yet by and by." It says in verse 10, it says, and then said he unto them, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, in famine, in pestilence, in fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Okay, it says, "But before all these things, they should lay hands." Stopping there, and just looking at what he's saying, the things that we're seeing today. You know, and Matthew, why didn't start at the beginning? Because Matthew 24 has a better explanation, because this is talking about, they're asking about when should the signs be, but here it tells you what we're looking at and what we're seeing today. Because we look at the TV, when you turn on TV now, and it looks like, and it depends on where you get your news source from. Let me say that, because really, in all actuality, when you look at the news in America, all we're hearing is Trump, 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 and Hillary, 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 you know, and I'll be quite honest, I'm tired of hearing all of it, and they can say what they want. Both of those persons are unfit to run the presidency, but that's this world, and it's Satan's kingdom, so. But moving on to verse 24, because we're really asking, because I'm talking about the signs of the time, what should be, you know, what does this all mean? What are we looking at today? And it says it here better in Matthew 24. It says, "And as he said up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be? When shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming in the end of this world?" In other words, end of this age. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." That's the first thing told you to do. Pay close attention that no man deceive you. "So for many shall come in my name, and shall say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." In other words, misleading them, lead them away from God, lead them away from his coming kingdom. See, what we're seeing today is a winding up of everything. You know, these are the signs of the time. You turn on the news, or you are like me, I do a lot of looking at overseas news, and we're looking at Russia and America, China, the Philippines. Everybody is edging towards war. Got war going on in Syria. You go down in Somalia and Africa. You know, this is what's going on. And you hear this Russia, and then you hear the UK and America. You know, they always poking at Russia. Russia's coming down with their ships trying to come out into the Mediterranean. And they got the UK coming up saying they just, you know, they're going to escort them out and make sure they don't go across their line. And then there's America always accusing Russia of hacking into their email and meddling with this election. This election is the worst election. I like, who needs to meddle in that? You know, that's the most biggest garbage I've ever seen in my life. You have a sexual predator who talked about everybody else and he's a racist, but yet they got office for him. You know, he's not being pulled out. I thought about Bill Cosby, how they plastered him all over the news for what they said he did, and they didn't give the man a break. But here you got Donald Trump, this white man, and people can say what they want, but it's a lot of institutionalized racism going on in America. But they are allowing him to run for president with his record, his track record in itself. But he told you wars and rumors of wars. He said, and you shall, verse 6, he said, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." These things are going to happen. "And they shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrow." See, we're leading up into a time, as the life we as we know it now is not going to be like this no more. We're looking at we're by us living in America, and I don't know who's on this radio station who might not be in America, but all those who are in America, we live a luxurious life. You know, we complain about the little nicks and nanny things we don't have, but we have not had to have to deal with not eating. You know, there's sources. You know, there's hunger in America, yes, because there's underpaid. You know, people be working, and they still have to have an EBT just to survive today because of the hyperinflation going on in our country and the no pay raises. But people, we have it good right now. And people don't realize that these the things we're seeing, the signs of the time, this is the beginning of sorrow. It's a time to repair. You know, a lot of people today, biggest problem in America is that nobody really has a relationship with God no more. Everybody say, well, you should be able to believe whatever way you want, but there's only one God, and there's only one Spirit. So how can you believe anything you want to believe and be correct? You know, that's what's happening. This is the signs of the time, you know, that great falling away, which the Bible talked about before he came. Things are wrapping up, you know, and that's what Jesus, in his very first message in chapter 4, when he opened up, he says, repent after Satan had came and offered him the kingdoms of the world. You know, the kingdom of Satan is represented in the seven-headed dragon and 10 horns. That is his government system. That's kind of funny how that works, because he was talking to him 2,000 years ago. These things did not exist yet, even though he offered that to him. But here you see now within chapter 12, 13, and 17, that seven-headed dragon and 10 horns. And then you find out in verse 13 that that seven-headed dragon is going to be run by the Antichrist. And so we're up in this time. We're moving into this time where he said all these things are going to happen. You know, these things are happening. You know, nations going to rise up against nations. They're going to be fighting, but there's going to be time. This is the beginning of sorrow. It's the ending of all these things. But before we can get to a better day, we have to go through a hard time. And so I was talking about also about this thing about belief, how people look at things and they believe that they can believe anything. Everybody, you know, this person feel they right, that person feel they right. And ain't but one Bible, one God, you know. Ephesians 4, before I even look at these other scriptures. And the day is kind of a strange day. I kind of got up and everything's moving forward. I can't complain. And I'm just thinking, I've been really meditating upon true sanctification, true holiness, and what it means to really be a part of the kingdom of God. That's where my mind has been at. And I've been looking at the signs, you know, the times, you know, where we're at and how people walk around carelessly. Nobody's really paying attention to what's really going on, even down to our elections. Like, who knows that way back when all this stuff came out, before we got to this very end, excuse me, people, this guy automatically should have been disqualified. Hillary's not qualified. They messed with her already. You know, neither one of these people they try to put in this office is qualified to be president. But the condition of America, this says a lot about how the people are doing. You know, I was sitting back looking at that, and I was looking at how Russia and China and everybody's posturing. You know, they like you come down in the South Sea, and America's messing with them, and then they mess with the Russians up in Syria. You know, really ISIS and excuse me, that group there in itself. You know, the America, if somebody has some involvement with them, they arm them people. You know, they always doing something underhanded, and they don't want the world to know. They want the people. They want to keep the people in the dark. What's going on? So I'm sitting back thinking about that. Now I begin to think about what is sanctification. True holiness, not garbage that we've been seeing. We've been presented with so many falsehoods, and then you find out when you're looking at, and I'm going to go back to scripture. You're looking at the scriptures, the word church, which happens to be an insert, and it's kukos, the word they put in there. That's the word where the word church comes from. It's a Latin slate brought into the Greek. But that word wasn't originally there in the Bible. When they start putting translating the Bible into English, it was congregation or assembly. So we're all looking for these. We're looking for this church, and what church means, kakuka means lords or ruler house. You know, and so we've been deceived. All of us really going running to place. We church going to lord ruler house when Christ was talking about a coming kingdom. We really missed this whole message just from that one word day. And then the Catholics put it in there and they made it an edict that it was never to be taken out. But it distorted the view of what we were after. It literally distorted the view. And when we realize we're talking about a kingdom, you have to perceive this a whole different way than when we go and sit down in this church and we're coming together and he's talking about the here and now and how to prosper in this world, you know. Instead of telling us getting ready for the kingdom, look, people, the time is up on us. What Christ said, wars and rumors of war, this is the beginning of sorrow. Hard times is coming, people. Instead of telling you that, telling you get ready. You know, you might need to put your little food pantry, if you can, put some food aside because hard times is coming. There's going to be times of famine, and sometimes those famines are not going to be caused. It's not because he says in the beginning of the Bible, he said it's going to be seed and harvest time as long as this world ends. So that means man-made famine. You know, they're not letting you get the food, or they've done something to the earth in that area where it makes it where the ground is not growing. But if God said it would always be harvest time, you know, it would always be a time where it's going to have food. So the hyperinflation is going to prevent that. So we have hard times coming. But I was looking at that and I'm thinking how to be right with God, you know. A lot of us have left these places of deception. A lot of us live outside of that realm because you see all this guy waiting for you to bring him the almighty dollar. And you look on the dollar just like they try to trick Jesus back in the day. It said, talk about usury, and they brought it to Jesus and said, they showed him a coin. Should we pay usury to Caesar? He looked at the coin. He says, render to Caesar what is Caesar. Okay? That's where money is. You look at money, that belongs to the system. Give them their money. That's the system. But what do God want from us? What does he want? He wants us. He wants us, our reasonable service, which is Romans 12. This is required of us of God. It's not the money. When I always talk about like tithes or something, like you're going to be blessed because you pay your tithes. And come on, you look at that and tell me who that belongs to. And I beseech thee, chapter 12, you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, not your money. He wants your mind and your soul, okay? That money ain't going to do nothing. You pat in somebody else's pocket or you maybe help keep the lights on, okay? But what does he say? What is your reasonable service? Your reasonable service. Excuse me. Presenting your body a living sacrifice. You're not out there partying and getting drunk and running the streets, or, you know, you're out there playing like you say. When you're at home, you're into all kind of other stuff. You're on the computer watching porn and whatever else you might be doing out there. But he says you're living a living sacrifice. Holy, holy means separated from all this filth, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's what is due. So and be ye not conformed to the world. You shouldn't be changed to all the fads and chasing after these fads, what's going on in this world. So be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable in perfect will of God, the condition of your mind. What kind of mind are you walking around in today? Excuse me. What kind of mindset do you live in? You know, in the signs of the times, you know, with Christ is drawing closer now. And you know, I was talking about just the common faith, and it goes on to tell you in Ephesians 4, and just think about that. Let that sit in your mind. What is your thinking? What is your thinking pattern? Is it corruption? Is it filth when you're thinking? You look at women, men, you lust? Are you greed for money? Or what is it? What do you look? You're looking at what your neighbors have? What kind of mindset do you have? Let your mind be renewed. Renewing of your mind comes through you studying the scriptures and begin to meditate on what matters and your values. That becomes your value system. You look at the scriptures. You learn how to live righteously and look at things correctly according to the word of God. In Ephesians 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, okay, wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Notice the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. It says there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's not multiple faiths. There's no such way. There's no such thing. I heard somebody told me one time when I was a young man that God likes a variety. That's a variety of a lie. God likes, he has one way of believing in him. He doesn't have multiple ways. Here's Jude 3. So, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, common, it's the same. That's why you have to be born again. The Bible talks about that, but people jump over that. They jump over John 3:3 and say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand it. Now, he said, I can understand church. He said the kingdom, because that's what we're dealing with, bro. Satan system is represented in that seven head and 10 horns, the dragon, chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 17. That is his government system. Jesus' government system is represented in the 12 tribes of Israel. And you see that when it's in chapter 12, when they talks about the 12 tribe and how his child was, how the child was caught up to God, the true king. Okay, so we're dealing with two government systems. We're dealing with two kingdoms. We live in a kingdom system right now that is in Satan's kingdom. So he said common salvation. How do we become a part of that? As it says in, and I'm coming right back to Jude. Okay, common salvation. Let's look at this. He says in chapter 11 of Ephesians, chapter 2 of Ephesians and 11, he says, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at the times you were without Christ. Notice that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. So we're talking about when he said his kingdom. You weren't a part of that. That's his kingdom is represented in Israel. Okay? Seven heads, 10 horns, that's a representation of Satan's system. When you talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144, that's what his kingdom is representing. That's an actual physical kingdom coming. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the entity, the hostility, the law of commandments contained in ordinance. A lot of people get that mixed up with the Ten Commandments. He said the law of ordinance that was done away, all the ceremonial laws. He didn't do away with the Ten Commandments, but the ceremonial laws he did. He said that even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians. He says, for to make in himself twin, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, the hostility, thereby came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, the Jews, and to the Gentiles that were far off. Okay? He says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit. So how are we going to all have a different belief and have the same God? Somebody's got the false God. Okay, so one Spirit unto the Father. So now, therefore, ye are no more what? Strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Fellow citizens of his kingdom. That's what he was talking about. I stopped at John 3:3 when I was talking about except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't understand it. Then talk, what we talk about in the church, he's talking about a kingdom, a coming kingdom. The first part of that kingdom took birth on the day of Pentecost. Chapter 17 tells you the kingdom of God is within you. So what you see on the day of Pentecost, everybody is filled, chapter 2, or filled with the Holy Ghost. They became a part of the kingdom of God. And then he goes on back to John in 5, 3 and 5, he says, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water and spirit. Here are requirements. He didn't say he can't enter no church. He said he can't enter into the kingdom of God. And then you go, and so you find out water and spirit. Where you find out? The same place. Acts 2. You go down to Acts 2 and 38, where it says, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, water and spirit, as well as blood, because he said he washed us from his sin in his own blood. So evidently, if it says be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, it has to be when somebody's, your blood is applied to your life, when they call, take you down in that water, submerging you, they call out on the name of Jesus Christ, that blood is applied to your life. Okay? And so, water and spirit. He washed us from our own blood. But it goes on to say, fellow citizens. So you're looking at that. Even when he talked to Peter, he said to Peter in Matthew 16, he told him that he was giving him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He gave him the ability to open the door to let other people in the kingdom of God. So Peter also went to the Gentiles, and he brought that common salvation. The same salvation for them was for us. So he went to chapter 10. You read that. They did the same exact thing, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. But he says, now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. He said, and you are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, so in whom all the building fitly framed together growing unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay, so there is not just one. You know, you're talking about, there is just one. What I'm talking about, not just one. There's just one way. There's not multiple ways. The Bible, people say all that and try to tell you you can do it this way, that way, and you find out there's neither, as it says in chapter 4 and 12, when people try to dismiss baptism, it says, neither is thou salvation in any other name whereby a man must be saved. So if you ain't been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with this Holy Spirit, because Acts 19 lets you know there is confirmation that you are accepted in this kingdom. It says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And here's 1 Peter chapter 4 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. So you got to clear your mind out of all that filth. Signs of the times are before you. The coming of the end is here. We can see that. Sorrow is coming. The sorrow has to come before Christ can come. The Antichrist got to come before Christ can come. You already got the false prophets on the scene, front line. Pope Francis, if you don't believe that, read chapter 13 and watch what he's doing. In chapter 13 of Revelation is written in reversal. So clear up your mind, your reasonable service, you know, renewing your mind by the scriptures, learning to do what is right. You know, not so much trying to please men, but please God. He says, for much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he has suffered in the flesh and has ceased from sin, from that state of mind. He says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust, you know, these ungodly desires of men, but to the will of God. What is the purpose of God in your life? You see, he's not living according to the will of man, but what is the purpose of God in your life? He's living to the will of God. What God has purpose for him. Time passed, it says, for the time passed of our lives, many suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentile, in other words, of the flesh, when we walk in lasciviousness, a lifestyle with no restraint, believing you should be blessed no matter what, lust, you know, ungodly desire, excessive of wine, raveling, partying, banquets, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it's strange that ye run not with them to the same excessive riots, speaking evil of you. They don't understand when you begin to separate yourself, when you pull back from religion. All of a sudden, oh, something's wrong. You don't believe in church. No, it's always been about the kingdom of God. That's an insert. Okay? That's an interpolate thing. They put that in there to deceive us. And it's so funny because when I got one of that because I kept hearing the word church. I kept hearing the word kingdom when Christ was talking. I said, where does he ever talk about church? When I researched that word and found out, it's a forest. It's not real, man. It means Lord of Ruler House. And then if you get your license, you know, these people go to these cemeteries and seminaries, you know. They go there, get a license, and then all of a sudden they qualify to be a preacher. And don't realize the Bible tells us what qualifies us to take the word of God to somebody else. And that's going to be in Acts 1 when they're asking about him restoring the kingdom. Acts 1, it says, in verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? People messing with church. What is that? We going to restore a church? It's supposed to be assembly or congregation, because when we come together as countrymen. We all fellow citizens through the baptism in Jesus' name, through Christ, the Father Abraham. We all belong to that kingdom now, okay, not this church thing. But he said unto them, is it not for you to know the times or the season? He said, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power, okay? Let them know, that ain't for you to know. But he let us know what the warnings would be, wars, rumors of wars. Okay, all these false preachers, all these false churches out here, ain't nobody talking about no kingdom of God. You got people talking about the kingdom of God, talking about they bring it, but I'm going to tell you who it is. It's the witnesses. Talking about they got the kingdom of God, but they're going to bring you God's name and tell you it's Jehovah. When Jesus told you, I come in my Father's name. John 5 and 43. In chapter 17 of John, the Gospel of John, in verse 6, he said, I manifested thy name unto these men which thou gave it me. He revealed the name to the disciples. They weren't talking about the name Jehovah, so automatically, you know, that's another false place. Don't mess with that. And like, automatically, they don't got the right name. They coming at your door talking about they bringing God's name, and Jesus said he came in his Father's name. So it's a confusion. If you don't know your Bible, you run off into anything. So he goes on to say, but ye shall, he said, okay. He said, the seasons, and S, the times of seasons, said, which the Father has put in his own power. But that's why nobody know until Christ, when God said go, that's when he's finally had enough and everybody's heard this gospel. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now notice what he said. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come up to you, after one has the Holy Ghost. So that means if they have never been baptized in Jesus' name, if not filled with the Holy Ghost, they don't have the permission, or they're not anointed or qualified by God to teach you the word of God. So I'm down here, and I'm finishing out, people. I'm going back to 1 Peter. Okay, it says, verse 5, he said, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge? Now, listen, ready to judge the quick and the dead. It said, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, and they that might be judged according to the man in the flesh, but live it according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Notice that. The end of all things is at hand, people. Be ye therefore sober and watch, and watch into prayer, and also watch and pray that God will bless you to get away from this, to not be a part of, you know, not die with this world. But if you do die, that you get back up when Christ returns to establish his kingdom. The end is at hand, people. That's what we're dealing with. and really reconditioning of your mind, and you getting them scriptures down in your mind, and knowing what God wants, not what man wants, not their religion, it's not their philosophies. You don't need that. You need Christ. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you need to set yourself down and study that Bible to know how to get out of here, how to avoid the death that is coming for this human family, for all those firstborn who've never been born again, and all those of Satan's kingdom who's going to be removed after Christ's return. I'd like to thank you guys for coming out again, and I hope you guys have a good day. This is Revolutionary Gospel News. I'll see you guys Saturday on the Sabbath. You guys have a great evening.